Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring capybaras, the chillest rodents on Earth.
I want you to picture something for a second. Imagine one of the absolute best survival experts in the entire Amazon jungle. You're probably picturing like a fierce, roaring predator, right?
Right. Something with razor-sharp claws or huge teeth.
Exactly. But what if I told you that this survival master is actually a giant 150-pound smiling animal that looks exactly like a really, really big guinea pig?
Honestly, it sounds like a joke someone just made up on the playground.
It really does.
But it is entirely real. And biologically speaking, it is a spectacular animal.
Yeah, so today on our deep dive, we are looking at a stack of awesome wildlife reports and conservation facts all about the capybara. And our mission today is to uncover exactly how this creature became the world's largest rodent.
Which is a huge title to hold.
Oh, massive. We're also going to find out how it became a literal master of the water.
Yeah.
And maybe most importantly, how it manages to survive in a jungle full of predators by basically being the friendliest neighbor in the entire animal kingdom.
I love that. And to really understand the capybara's survival tricks, we should probably start by defining that first fact you mentioned, you know, about them being a rodent.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
Because when we hear the word rodent, we usually picture a tiny house mouse squeezing under a door, or maybe a squirrel burying an acorn in the park.
Right, tiny scampering things.
Exactly. But being a rodent has absolutely nothing to do with being small. It is entirely about the hardware inside their mouths.
Right. It's a very specific set of tools. You're talking about those big front teeth.
Yeah. A rodent is a type of mammal equipped with a highly specialized pair of front teeth called incisors. And these teeth are incredibly sharp. But here's the wildest part about them.
Okay.
They never stop growing. From the day the animal is born until the day it dies, those front teeth are just constantly pushing outward, getting longer and longer.
Which sounds terrifying. I mean, if my teeth never stopped growing, I wouldn't be able to close my mouth after a couple of years. They'd be down in my chin.
That would actually happen to a rodent, too, if they didn't have a built-in way to handle it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they survive by filing those growing teeth down. So they do this by gnawing or chewing on extremely hard things in their environment.
So that's why they're always chewing on stuff.
Precisely. They chew on wood, they gnaw on tough tree bark, they crack open hard nuts. And every time they take a bite of something hard, it acts like a natural nail file.
That is so cool.
It scrapes against the edge of the tooth and keeps it at the absolute perfect length. And, you know, there are over 2,000 different kinds of rodents on Earth, from beavers building dams to porcupines covered in spikes. But the capybara just completely dwarfs all of them.
And this is where we really need to talk about their size, because the numbers in these reports are just mind-boggling.
They really are.
If, you know, listening right now, if you have a pet guinea pig at home, or if you've seen one at a pet store, it probably weighs about 2 pounds, right?
Yeah, very small.
It fits right in the palms of your hands. You can scoop it right up. But an adult capybara, they are usually between 3.3 and 4.3 feet long.
Which is well over a meter in length.
Right. And they can weigh anywhere from 77 to 146 pounds.
That is a very heavy rodent.
Think about that for a second. That means a capybara weighs as much as an average 10-year-old child.
It's hard to even picture.
And a really fun fact from our sources here, the females are actually slightly larger than the males.
Which is pretty common in certain animal families, but still super cool to see here.
Totally.
And the visual difference between a capybara and its tiny cousins is just staggering. Mm. If you were trying to picture one standing next to you right now, imagine a creature with a really sturdy barrel-shaped body.
Yeah, like a furry barrel on legs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They actually look a lot like a very large, very chunky dog. Maybe a heavy Labrador retriever, but with a big, square, fuzzy nose.
But they definitely do not act like a Labrador. I mean, you are not going to see a capybara playing fetch with a stick or sprinting at top speed across a grassy field.
Definitely not.
They have these rather short, sturdy little legs. They look like they are absolutely built for relaxing, not for running a marathon.
Yeah, they are built for a very specific, slow-paced lifestyle in warm climates. And you can see that survival strategy in their exterior, too.
Oh, like their fur.
Right. A pet guinea pig has soft, fluffy hair that feels great to pet. But a capybara's fur is completely different. It is coarse, it's wiry, and it feels almost like the bristles of a tough broom.
Which is a brilliant survival tool. The reports say that fur ranges from a reddish brown to a grayish brown on top, and then underneath, on their bellies, it fades to a yellowish white.
Yes, very specific.
And that isn't just a random color pattern. That coloring is the ultimate camouflage for hiding in muddy riverbanks and dry, tall marsh grasses.
And the skin underneath that wiry fur is just as important. It is incredibly thick and tough. It acts as natural armor against their environment.
Because they live in hot places.
Right, exactly. They live in hot, sunny places. So that tough skin protects them from getting awful sunburns. And it also acts as a shield against the endless swarms of pesky mosquitoes and biting insects that live down in the swamps.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And they also have another piece of built-in hardware that goes beyond those growing front teeth. Because they are so massive, they need serious equipment to chew their food.
Their mouths are just heavy-duty processing machines.
Right.
Behind those sharp front teeth, deep in the back of their mouths, they have incredibly strong molars. These back teeth are serious grinding blocks.
Like little millstones.
Basically, yeah. They are so powerful they can bite right through thick, tough plant stems that would leave other animals completely stumped.
Okay, so if you put all this together, you have an animal the size of a 10-year-old kid, shaped like a furry barrel, wearing wiry camouflage armor, and packing a serious set of plant-crushing teeth.
A pretty formidable setup.
It is. But here is the problem they face in the wild. Because they are so big, and because they have those short little legs, they cannot run away fast.
No, they're not winning any races.
Right. And they are also not built to fight off danger. So they need a special place to stay safe.
Hmm.
And they found the absolute perfect hiding spot right in the water.
Yeah, the water is their sanctuary. If you want to find a capybara in the wild today, you really need to travel to South America.
Okay.
They live in countries like Brazil, Argentina, Venezuela, and Colombia. But you won't find them wandering around the dry deserts or the high snowy mountains. You have to look in extremely wet habitats.
Lots of mud.
Tons of mud. We're talking about muddy marshes, deep swamps, the edges of rushing rivers, and giant flooded savannas.
And biologists call them semi-aquatic, which just means they split their time almost equally between living on the dry land and living in the water.
Right.
And their bodies have adapted to this watery life in ways that honestly feel like science fiction. Remember those short, sturdy legs we mentioned? If you get really close and look at a capybara's feet, they aren't like dog paws. They are actually slightly webbed.
Which is wild. They have a tough layer of skin stretching between their toes, functioning exactly like built-in swimming flippers.
Which makes them Olympic-level swimmers. If a capybara senses danger in the forest, its first instinct is never to turn and run into the trees.
Never.
Its first move is to turn around and dive straight into the nearest river or swamp. And the sources say they can actually hold their breath underwater for up to 5 minutes.
And 5 minutes is an eternity when you're trying to escape a predator.
Oh, totally.
Just picture a scene in the Amazon rainforest. A hungry jaguar is prowling along the muddy banks of a river. It spots a capybara. Now, the jaguar is incredibly fast and incredibly strong.
It's a scary cat.
Very scary. And the capybara cannot outrun it. But the moment the capybara hears a twig snap, it simply slips into the dark water and just vanishes beneath the surface.
Wow.
And the jaguar is just left staring at empty ripples.
It's literally like a magic trick. But my absolute favorite detail from the research is that they don't just use the water for escaping.
No, they use it to chill out.
They use it for napping. They can literally fall asleep in the water. They just sink their heavy barrel bodies down into the cool mud, and they sleep with only the very tip of their little noses poking out above the surface.
It's so funny to see.
They are basically furry animal submarines.
The submarine analogy is highly accurate, especially when you look at their skull.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is a brilliant evolutionary design that makes that underwater napping possible. If you look straight at a capybara's face, you'll notice their eyes, their small rounded ears, and their nostrils are not located right in the center of their face the way humans are.
Right. They're all pushed way up to the top, kind of like how an alligator or a hippo looks.
Exactly. It is a classic semi-aquatic adaptation because all their crucial sensory organs, the things they need to see, hear, and breathe, are clustered right at the absolute highest point of their head. The capybara can keep its entire massive body submerged.
That is so smart.
So to that hungry jaguar walking along the shore, the capybara is completely invisible beneath the murky water. But the capybara is perfectly comfortable. It can still see the shore, it can hear the birds in the trees, and it can breed easily without exposing itself.
And that is a vital survival skill, because the Amazon is full of terrifying things that want to eat a capybara.
Oh, yeah.
You've got those jaguars on the land, you've got caimans, which are essentially big, scary alligators swimming in the rivers, and you even have giant anaconda snakes slithering through the swamps.
It's a tough neighborhood.
It really is. Being able to turn into an invisible submarine is the only way to survive.
But, you know, you can't hold your breath forever. Eventually, that capybara has to come up to the land to eat and rest.
Right.
And when you are a giant, slow-moving animal surrounded by predators, how do you survive on land? You build a massive community.
Yes. Hiding is a great trick, but capybaras have figured out that there is major safety in numbers. They don't just hang out in groups. They build what is basically a fortress made of friends.
A fortress of friends. I like that.
They are incredibly famously social.
Yeah, you will almost never find a capybara wandering completely alone in the wild. They live in highly organized, tight-knit groups called herds.
How big are we talking?
Well, a standard herd usually consists of somewhere between 10 and 20 capybaras. But the size of the herd can change drastically depending on the environment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. During the dry season, when water gets scarce and puddles start to shrink, multiple herds will actually join together around the remaining water holes. In those situations, you can see herds swell up to 100 individuals.
100 giant guinea pigs just hanging out together in one mud puddle.
Exactly.
And it isn't just chaos, right? They have a real system.
Yeah.
The herd usually has a strong male leader whose main job is to act like the neighborhood watch.
Right, the lookout.
Yeah, he stands guard, keeping his eyes and ears open for jaguars while the rest of the group relaxes. But the real secret weapon of the capybara fortress is the moms.
Yes. The females in the herd practice a fascinating behavior known in biology as alloparenting.
Wait, so it's like a massive community babysitting program?
It goes even further than just babysitting.
Really?
Yeah, in a lot of the animal kingdom, a mother will fiercely protect and care for only her own direct babies. She won't share her resources.
Always very protective.
But capybara mothers are incredibly cooperative. All the moms in the herd work together to raise all the babies. They help protect each other's pups. They watch them while other moms sleep. And they will even nurse the hungry pups of other mothers.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
If a young, clumsy capybara gets too close to the edge of the water where a caiman might be hiding, any adult female in the herd will immediately step in and pull it back to safety.
I just love the idea of this giant daycare network. And to keep this fortress of friends running smoothly, they never stop talking to each other.
Very vocal animals.
Super vocal. They obviously don't use words, but they have this whole complex language of sounds. If you listen to a recording of a herd, you hear these happy little chirps, high-pitched whistles, weird little huffs, and they even purr like giant cats when they're huddled up together to stay warm.
It's true.
Yeah.
And then there is the alarm system.
Right.
If that male leader spots a shadow moving in the trees, he lets out a very sharp, loud bark.
Like a dog.
Very similar. That bark cuts through all the purring and chirping.
Mm-hmm.
It is an instant signal to the entire herd that means, you know, stop whatever you're doing and run for the water right this second.
They also have a totally different way of talking that involves smells, which is honestly a bit funny.
Yeah, the scent marking.
Yeah, they have special scent glands located on their noses, and, well, they have them on their bottoms, too.
They do, indeed.
They rub these scent glands all over the tall marsh plants, and they even rub them on each other. It leaves a specific smell that essentially acts like a giant name tag. It tells the other capybaras, hey, I was just eating over here, or you smell like my family, you belong in our herd.
They also reinforce those family bonds through physical touch. It is very common to see them resting with their bodies pressed completely against one another.
A giant cuddle puddle.
Exactly. They will nuzzle each other with their noses. They even use those sharp front teeth we discussed to gently comb through and groom each other's wiry fur.
Which requires a tremendous amount of trust.
Oh, absolutely.
But here's the mystery that scientists and wildlife photographers love to point out. That incredible friendliness doesn't stop with their own family. Capybaras share their space with almost everyone.
They're very tolerant.
You can go online right now and find thousands of photos of capybaras just chilling on a riverbank with a family of turtles literally stacked on top of their heads.
I've seen those pictures. They're hilarious.
They hang out with ducks. They sit next to ibises. Monkeys will climb on their backs. And sometimes even those scary predators like caimans will just be lounging in the sun a few feet away, totally ignoring them.
And here is the secret to why they have such a peaceful reputation. Animals in the wild are like mind readers when it comes to sensing danger. A capybara is a strict herbivore.
Meaning they only eat plants, no meat, ever.
That is the key. Because they only eat plants, they have absolutely zero hunter energy.
Yeah.
They're not looking at the turtles or the monkeys as a potential snack. They have no aggressive drive to chase or capture prey. The other animals in the wetland, both the prey animals and the predators, can sense that calm, non-threatening posture.
So they just don't see them as a threat.
Exactly. They realize the capybara is just a giant walking piece of furniture that isn't going to bother them, so the entire ecosystem just relaxes around them.
Hold on, though. This brings up a huge biological puzzle. Grass has almost zero nutritional value. If I went outside right now and ate a giant bowl of swamp grass, I would have no energy. I'd be exhausted.
You definitely would be.
So how is a 150-pound animal surviving and staying strong on a diet of terrible, low-energy salad?
It is an enormous challenge. Capybaras are classified as grazers. The vast majority of their daily diet consists of tough marsh grasses, aquatic reeds, and occasionally some tree bark or fruit, if they can find it.
Just a ton of fiber.
Yes. And because that food is so low in calories and nutrients, they have to eat an astonishing amount of it. A capybara will spend 5 to 6 hours every single day doing nothing but chewing on grass.
5 or 6 hours of just nonstop munching, that is a part-time job.
It really is.
But even if you eat a mountain of grass, your stomach still has to turn it into fuel.
And that is where their internal anatomy performs a miracle. A capybara's stomach and their large intestine act like a giant bubbling science experiment. We call it a fermentation chamber.
Wait, like the way people ferment cabbage to make sauerkraut or ferment dough to make sourdough bread?
The underlying chemistry is very similar. Inside the capybara's digestive tract, there is a massive population of highly specialized bacteria. So when the capybara swallows mouthfuls of tough, fibrous grass, it drops into this warm chamber. The bacteria swarm the plant matter and begin breaking it down through fermentation.
Oh, I see.
They slowly dissolve the tough cell walls of the grass, turning it into useful fatty acids and vitamins that the capybara's body can actually use for energy.
Okay, here is where it gets incredibly weird and maybe highly gross, depending on how you feel about biology.
I know where you're going with this.
To get all those vitamins, the capybara practices something called coprophagy, which is a very fancy scientific word for they eat their own poop.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
And it is usually the fact that shocks people the most.
Because it's shocking. You are a giant, cute animal, and you are eating your own droppings.
It sounds bad, but if we look at the mechanics of it, it is a brilliant solution to a difficult problem. As you pointed out, grass is a terrible food source.
Right.
When the capybara digests a meal of grass the very first time, the bacteria in that fermentation chamber do a great job unlocking the nutrients, but the food moves through their body too quickly for the capybara to absorb all of it.
Oh, so they miss out on the good stuff.
Exactly. So they produce a special, very soft kind of dropping that is packed full of undigested vitamins and proteins.
And instead of wasting it, they just eat it again.
Chewing it twice allows the food to pass through their digestive system a second time.
Wow.
This second trip through the stomach ensures that their body extracts every single essential vitamin and every last drop of energy from that grass.
So it's basically recycling.
Highly efficient recycling. Without this superpower of coprophagy, they would slowly starve to death no matter how much grass they ate. It is a necessary survival tool.
Okay, I guess if my only choice for dinner was tough swamp grass, I would want a mutant stomach superpower to help me digest it too.
You'd need it.
So with all these incredible tools, the endless teeth, the submarine camouflage, the fortress of friends, and the bubbling science experiment in their bellies, how are capybaras actually holding up in the wild today? I mean, they have to share South America with a lot of growing human cities.
Well, the news on that front is surprisingly good. There is an organization called the International Union for Conservation of Nature, or the IUCN.
Right.
You can think of them as the organization that hands out the ultimate global report card for animal survival. Right now, the IUCN categorizes capybaras as a species of least concern.
So on the report card, Least concern means they are getting passing grades. They are not in danger of going extinct anytime soon.
Correct. Their global population remains largely stable. And one of the main reasons they are doing so well is that they reproduce incredibly quickly.
Oh, because of the big litters.
Yeah, a female capybara doesn't just have one baby at a time. She can have a litter of anywhere from 1 to 8 pups. And she can do that up to twice every single year.
Wow, that's a lot of babies.
Exactly. So if a population dips in a certain area, their numbers can bounce back extremely fast.
That is fantastic to hear. But the reports do show that they still face some serious challenges, and most of them are caused by us.
Right, humans.
The biggest threat is habitat loss. Remember, they are semi-aquatic. They absolutely need water to survive. When humans drain massive wetlands to build new farms or pave over marshes to expand cities, they are literally drying up the capybara's home.
And whenever an animal loses its habitat, it is forced to move closer to human activity.
Which causes problems.
Big problems. Because capybaras live in such large, hungry herds, if they wander onto a human farm, they can easily consume an entire field of crops overnight, or eat all the grass that a farmer was saving for their cattle.
Oh, man.
Because they are seen as pests in these situations, and because their tough skin makes good leather, they are still heavily hunted in certain local regions.
Right. And yet, despite all that, people all over the world absolutely adore them. Because they are so calm and social, they are super popular in zoos. You can just stand there and watch them munch on grass and hang out with the ducks.
They're very charismatic.
But learning about how friendly they are always brings up a question for, you know, anyone listening. Since they are basically giant, peace-loving neighborhood guinea pigs, couldn't I just get one as a pet? Wouldn't it be amazing to have a capybara wandering around the backyard?
The wildlife experts in the reports are extremely clear about this, actually. Getting a capybara as a pet is a terrible idea.
Even though they are so friendly.
Yeah. Their friendliness works in the wild because they have their specific needs met. We have to remember they are massive wild animals, not domesticated dogs that have lived with humans for thousands of years.
Good point.
To keep a capybara healthy, you need a tremendous amount of space. A tiny backyard kiddie pool won't work. You need a massive, deep body of water for them to swim in and cool down.
And the food, too.
Right. You need to provide massive amounts of fresh, specific grasses every single day.
And from what we learned about their fortress of friends, you definitely can't just keep one all by itself.
That is the most important biological barrier. They are fundamentally herd animals. A capybara kept completely alone in a human house will become incredibly stressed, terrified, and deeply lonely.
Oh, that's sad.
And in many places, it is illegal to own one anyway. The absolute best way to love a capybara is to protect the wild wetlands where they belong, or visit them at a professional zoo where they have a giant pool and a whole family to purr with.
Yeah, let the giant guinea pig stay wild. So let's do a quick rundown of what makes this animal a complete legend.
Sounds good.
First, they hold the heavyweight title as the world's largest rodent, constantly filing down those ever-growing front teeth. Second, they are furry animal submarines with their eyes, ears, and noses placed perfectly on top of their heads so they can hide underwater from jaguars.
A brilliant trick.
Right. Third, they build an incredible fortress of friends, acting as a giant community daycare, while radiating such a chill energy that even predators leave them alone. And finally, they have a bubbling science experiment for a stomach that lets them digest tough grass twice, even if it means eating their own poop.
It is one of the most unique and successful survival strategies you will find anywhere in nature.
It really is. And it leaves me thinking about something we didn't even cover in the reports. If the capybara evolved to be a giant, 150-pound version of a guinea pig just because of its wet environment, well, it makes you wonder about the rest of the world.
Oh, definitely.
What other tiny, squeaky little animals hiding in your backyard right now might have a giant, heavy, swimming cousin hiding deep in a jungle somewhere? Imagine a 100-pound hamster or a giant swimming gerbil.
Now there's a thought.
The animal kingdom is always hiding a bigger, weirder secret than you think. Keep your eyes open out there, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.